Hey everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Indie Corner Radio. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I've got awesome guest who I haven't had on the show before, Ariana Harris. How are you doing, Ariana?
I'm good. How are you?
It's Ariana
Ariana.
or Ariana? Ariana. Okay, I completely messed that up. Okay.
It's
I usually ask before and I still butcher it. So, I guess I tend to not do that. Anyway, well, welcome to the show. I'm very happy to have you. First of all, you've been acting since you were 11, from what I understand. How did you get into that?
actually went to a studio. I was not interested in acting at all, but I went there. They had like one plan. You could take all of the classes. So they had like dance, acting, modeling, pageant, like a whole bunch of different classes. So I got registered for that. And then that's kind of how I got my way into acting and modeling and all of those different things.
And you seem to enjoy it now. What was it about it back then? Like just at that point, you just had no like thought about it.
Necessarily. It's not something that I envisioned myself doing, but I got there and I was like, wow, like I really love this and I want to pursue this.
So, like, did you have a specific style of acting? Did you take like a Meisner or anything like that?
No, it was mostly like improv drills, but there was like a lot of other things. Like we would go through scripts and monologues, and there was other people in the class. So those improv exercises was like a big thing that we were doing, but there was also other things too.
So that's awesome. I love improv. Do you think you're really good at it now?
I think I'm good at making some lines up sometimes. I think I do better with the script though, like so I can get the feel of a character.
Right. So if you're just told, go do this, you get a little like, okay.
No, I'm usually fine with it because at that point after I'll know the character and I'll know something like about what they would say. So I'm usually pretty okay with that. But if they don't give me like if I don't get a script or a prompt, it's harder for me.
Yeah, I imagine. So I want to know. So you're pretty young, and everything in this industry. And I mean, I kind of feel like I wish I had done that when I was, I wish I got into this like when I was 11 and got into film and everything. It wasn't as viable as an option as it is now. And you directed already, like you co-directed, but you still, I mean, you made Live, Die, Laugh. I think that's the correct title. How was that?
So, like acting really young, it's not really like I wouldn't say it's that big of a deal, especially you can start from any age and get the same experiences basically. It's not like dance where you have to start super little to be really good by the time you're 18. You can kind of start at any point as long as you're taking classes, you'll get the opportunities that like taking classes and improving, and you're good at your skill, you'll get the same opportunities that everyone else is getting, like producer, director, or getting all these offers for shows. Like, obviously, it might be a different, you might be in a different margin in a different group, so you will have to like apply for adult roles or adult positions rather than kid ones, but you can still do it at any age.
Yeah, I notice a lot more children like or even teen kids out there, doing the acting thing, getting Facebook, getting lots of work, mainly because like, if indie films especially are casting, teens, they probably want teens, people younger to play them. So you're gonna probably get an easier role than that. But do you still feel like it's a little, because it's is it harder because you're up against some competition?
Well, it's always going to be hard because you'll always get these auditions, and believe it or not, you'll get like 200 no's before you get a single yes. That's kind of just the industry. You just have to adapt. It's really all about rejection until like it's trial and error, basically. And not even that. Sometimes the role or the audition will come down to not how good you can act, but purely looks, like if you'll blend in with the family and other stuff. So, of course, there's big competition and there's friendly rivals, but not all of it's in your control. But that being said, I do feel like a lot of pressure, especially with in-person auditions. I feel a lot of pressure because you can literally see everybody that you're competing against. And you're
Right.
like, but the director and the people casting are only there to help you out. So I just remind myself of that. And the self-tapes, they're a lot easier because you just send in the best that you can do and hope for the best.
Do you feel like, because yeah, you talk about a lot of rejection. Are you ever like worried and scared that you didn't do good enough or anything?
I usually try my absolute hardest on auditions, and I try to portray the character as good as possible and make the character my own. So I don't necessarily think that I don't do good enough, but sometimes it's like, oh, I don't really know what they'll think, because you'll take the script and I'll take the script in a different direction, or like in a unique way, and I'll interpret it unique. And then sometimes it's like, will they like it? Will they not like it? Because I know one of the auditions I did, there was a role for a character, and I just felt the character would be Southern. So I put on a Southern accent, and I was like, I don't know if this is what they're gonna want or if they're gonna like it, but I did it.
Did you get the role for that? Do you know? Like, is it?
No, I didn't. I think I was too young.
Well,
You're
I
supposed
mean,
to be like an adult.
they wanted an adult for that role. Did they think
Well,
you were an
like
adult?
an 18-year-old, and usually with like teenage roles, they do cast. They'll either cast like young or old. And I think for this one, they were going more for like the old side, so.
Well, so what I mean, and you can tell me this better because you're living it and everything, but like my idea for as a director or whatever, generally a lot of people will cast like even 20-year-olds to play teenagers. That was always like sort of a joke, like in the 80s and everything. And a lot of that was because they can stay out past a certain time, and they don't have like a cur you know what I mean? Like, because with child actors, you sort of have rules, and everything. And with adults, there are, I mean, there are certain rules if they're SAG or something, but what do you feel about that?
Mean, they're fair. There's child labor laws. Like a parent has to come on set with me. I can't be alone on set. I think I can only work a maximum of 8 hours a day. Where adults, they obviously they can go by themselves, but I think it's always a good idea to tell someone either like where you're going or have someone come with you, just to make sure like safety is always important. So just to ensure safety. And I understand. I think sometimes people look a little too old to be teenagers, but they always portray the role really good, and they know what it's like to be a teenager. They've already been through it, so it might help them like accompany the character even more. I feel like that wasn't the right word, but like.
Actually, I think it was. Now I know, and I agree with you because, but also I feel like a teenager would sort of know what a teenager would do, more opposed to an adult who's been past that time, and everything. Like, I know there's certain people who are, now letting people know, like, okay, a teenager these days won't do this, because like somebody my age. Who writes for, if I write for a teenager, I may not know what a teenager is going to do because I don't hang out with teenagers, you know? So I get it. But I get what your side of it and everything. But so anyway, to go next, I wanted to discuss, like, I saw that you're a martial artist as well. And you got a second degree black belt. Am I correct on that, or is it more now?
Yeah, I have a second degree. I actually stopped doing martial arts during COVID just because like it was in a close and close vicinity and nobody was like it's exercises, so nobody wears masks and that's fine, but I just have people around me that I didn't want to get sick or anything. So I just kind of stopped doing that during the COVID time. But yes, I'm a second degree black belt. It's hanging up on my wall over there.
I actually got to junior black. So I did Shorinryu, Shorinkan at the time, and now it's just, I think, just Shorinryu. I think they separated. But what style were you? Are you?
So it's mixed martial arts, but like basically for the most part it's Taekwondo, but they just have like philosophies and moves and some other stuff. Different karate styles incorporated, kind of get the best of all worlds, I guess.
Like judo and, other things like that, all mixed into kind of one. That's
Yeah,
kind of
so like
cool.
actually, yeah, there was actually, so like there's yellow belt or like white belt through like purple belt, and then there's like blue belt through brown belt, and then brown belt through red belt, and then black belt. And all of those would kind of be a different style. So
Interesting.
like for each belt, you would have a break
Okay.
and like a routine. And like they would just test you on common knowledge and stuff like that. Like once I had to stand in class and kick two apples off of the sword. My dad, he had to stand in glass and break like a board of concrete.
Wait, your dad had to break concrete? Then did he?
Amateur.
Like,
That
I
my
see
whole
that in
family, except for
movies.
my
I've never
mom's
seen
black
that
belt.
in real life, you know?
Yeah. It's crazy. And then like when I had the test to get my black belt, there was like five men coming at me, and it's called like fight for your life.
Right?
And I had to like fight all of them. They were wearing padding and stuff, so they wouldn't get hurt.
Right. So it's okay for you to attack them, but because
Yeah.
they're attacking you
You're supposed
first.
to. And then if you don't do like good enough, they'll make you go again with even more people.
That is crazy. All I remember from my junior black belt test was it was in July or August. It was like really hot, and bees were out, and we were running in barefoot outside, and I was getting stung like mad, and you had to
Never
keep
imagine.
going. You had to keep running and dealing with that stuff. And I was just like, God, like it
I can
screwed
just
me.
imagine all the like blisters on your feet after that.
Yeah, I can't. No. But I was happy to get junior black. I've gone back and started over, actually. And but I was so out of shape. Like, right now I'm out of shape. I'm not able to do that. But if you were able to go back, like, it was to a point where you felt safe to go back, would you go back?
Probably not, just because I've like evolved and I'm focusing on other stuff right now, like acting, and I work and I play a sport and I do other stuff to keep me healthy, but like, and I go to the gym, but all of those lifestyle skills and fighting skills are something that I'm definitely gonna carry with me for the rest of my life because they have very good like life mottos, very good mindsets, very good like fighting tips. And I'll keep them with me. And I appreciate all the people that I met there and still in contact with some of them. And I appreciate all of that. But if I had the opportunity, I probably would not have the time to go back.
You'll just be like, because right now you've been doing a lot of horror films, but maybe one day you'll be a martial arts star, doing that stuff. And
Maybe.
I could
Yeah,
see that.
Martial arts is actually really good for acting because, like, they can see your skills, and if there's like a stunt scene or like a fighting scene, they might want me specifically because I do have martial arts experience. And honestly, any type of skill that you have could be helpful to an acting role. Like, I used to play soccer. I put that down. I got a role for like a soccer hospital commercial.
A what? A soccer what?
Like a soccer hospital commercial, like someone got hurt playing soccer and had to
Oh,
get
okay. I was gonna
a
say, is there a hospital just for soccer players or
No,
something? Like,
I put down, and also like on my resume down there is that I used to do gymnastics, and I got a role, like I got a role for a trampoline park commercial
nice. So, were you
because
jumping
I
on a
can kind of
trampoline
do
the whole
flips
time?
and stuff. Yeah. Well, I was
That's.
also doing, it was actually a Canon USA commercial. So we were showing off the camera, climbing rock walls, doing trampoline tricks, lots of types of stuff.
That's awesome. Did you do
Yeah.
like flips on the trampoline?
Yeah.
That's fun. I can't do, like, I tried once and I almost broke my neck and I was like, nope, not doing that again.
Yeah, but I did gymnastics and I have a trampoline in my backyard, so
So you're used to it, you know.
I know how to do, I know how to stay safe doing it. I know how to do it.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing. And there was another thing that martial arts teaches you is safety, you know. Because that's what I always remember from, doing the classes is like, if you did anything that was unsafe in the class, my sensei would yell at you, in a second, you know. Did you ever become a sensei, by the way? Did you ever, teach in the classes?
No, well, I actually like sometimes I would teach the younger kids, like I would teach the white belts or I'd teach the red belts their breaking technique or the 16 punches or their routine, but I never became an instructor. I wasn't old enough. You have to be 16 or either 14, 15 or 16 to become an instructor. I don't exactly remember the age, but I know I wasn't old enough.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I did the same thing you did, though. I taught like the little kids and stuff. They would
Yeah.
ask me because we would all separate or something, and then like I would go
Yeah,
and.
and then when I stopped too, sometimes I would go and help out with the testings and stuff. Like I would hold the boards or just go and help out and do like do the routines with them. I'll do the kicks or the punches with them, especially with the littler kids because they don't really have the memory for that.
Right.
Like as long as they know how to do it, you're good. But they don't have the memory to memorize all of that stuff. So especially with the little kids, I would help out and just like show them what to do pretty much.
That's awesome. I like that, you know. So a lot of that stuff you learned in martial arts and everything, then you got into acting too, you know. So you probably used a lot of those tools and those skills and what right now has been sort of the most difficult role that you've had to play?
The most difficult role, I don't have one in particular that was really, really hard for me, but it's always those emotional roles that are really hard. But those are also the roles that I like best because I feel like I can put a lot into it and I can show what I can really do. But they're hard to get into that mindset and get into that space where you can play them and play them good, especially if it isn't a situation that I relate to, which I've had to do a bunch, and especially in those type of situations, you have to do a lot of research about like how people would react, how people do react. If the character has a mental illness, you need to look up how people with that mental illness act. Like it's a lot to prepare for, but that's why I like it.
So did you have to do that? Did you have to prepare for one with the mental illness?
Yeah, I prepare for all of them. So basically, when I get the script, I'll get through it. I'll do a character analysis of all of the characters. I'll do intention and justification. So if it says like they're thinking about something or they're looking off into the distance, why are they looking up off at the distance? What are they thinking about? Stuff like that. kind of like dissect the script in a way to character notes, things that I want to put into the character as well, what's already in the character. There's a lot of things. It's not just like getting a script and reading the line. You have to kind of become the character.
See, that's so wonderful that you know this stuff at such a young age. Like, I think that's amazing because, some people, like, I even, I've interviewed actors and obviously won't say names or anything, but I've interviewed actors who just basically they just say, I get the script and I do it, and I don't put much thought into it and stuff. And I'm like, I don't think you're taking this very seriously, but then, I mean, whatever works for them, if that works for them, I guess I can't, I can't tell them like they're wrong because if they do a great job, like obviously something's good, but if they do a terrible job, you kind of see why then they're not, and do you feel like have you ever read a script where, and obviously I have to say any names or anything, but have you ever read a script where you're like, man, I don't know like the intention, or I can't really get into this as much.
Yeah, so sometimes if I feel a script isn't exactly right, or I think a better person would be a better fit for the character, I'll tell my mom because she's like my manager. I'll be like, I don't really think I would be good for this role. And then she's like, okay, I understand that. So if I don't want to play a role or a role isn't right for me, I won't audition for it. And if I feel like I can't do the best that I need to do, or I won't do something that will show off my abilities or like accompany what I can do, or if it's something that I'm not necessarily familiar with, I will pass on it and I'll be like, this isn't for me. This is not the role for me.
There you go. That's smart because sometimes people do it just because they want work. And I think that's a really bad mindset because you're right, somebody else might be perfect for that role and everything. And you seem to like, because with your mindset with that auditions, it's wonderful because you're like, you understand that like you might get 200 rejections and you don't seem to be too like sad about that, in a way or whatever. Like you're never really, are you really ever like too tied to like, oh man, if I don't get this audition, it's gonna ruin my career.
Nothing's really ever career ruining because you built up the career with the jobs you've previously done. So a job that you don't get won't really dictate it, especially if people don't even know that you're not allowed to announce that you're auditioning for something or what it's called or anything like that. So it can't really break your role. But sometimes I look at a script and I'm like, I really want this. Like, I really liked this script. I really like this role and I don't get it. And that can be really disappointing sometimes. Like, especially when it's something I really want and something I've really worked hard for. Like, the stingers, the ones that hurt me the most, are the ones that I get a call back for. And then they just like ghost you, or because that
Wait,
hurts. It's
you have
like, damn.
filmmakers that have ghosted you? Oh man, that
Well,
sucks.
everybody goes to you. If you don't get the role, they won't even like send you an email. They'll just ghost.
I hate to say, like, I feel like filmmakers, and so note to filmmakers, I think they should all at least let the person know, I'm sorry you didn't get the role, because it is heartbreaking to tell somebody that and everything. But say, tell them that, look, we'll consider you for another role, and please audition the next time that we're doing, we got something that's right for you, because
Yeah.
a lot of people think, like, actors think. Oh man, I didn't like. I have actors who will say, "Oh, you cast this person and not me," and I'll be like, "Well, I mean, because that's sort of what the role was required for."
Yeah.
It sucks. I wish I
Yeah,
could cast everyone.
like the big productions, especially. They get too many people. They don't really give it a second thought. But really thoughtful people will come from the indie films, and they might or the like college projects or stuff like that. And I really love doing those because the people there are always so heartfelt and genuine. You might get an email with advice on what to do better, or you'll get a thank you note after you're done, and you'll get like all these different things that big productions wouldn't necessarily even think about.
Yeah, definitely. I think I had a situation where somebody ghosted me once too, and I had asked my agent, what happened, and she told me they got somebody, they did get somebody else. And I was like, well, thank you, but I wish somebody would tell me. So like I get it. And that was a bigger project. That was still somewhat indie, but that was a bigger indie, movie. So
Yeah.
I get it. Where I once again, I think it's a matter of like maybe they had a million emails and they just didn't get, like if they're not going to cast you or not put you in the thing, now have you done like extra work as well?
Me when I was starting out, I did a lot of extra work just to build the portfolio, but now I'm going for like role is bigger than that, unless it's like an extra role in my area, which there's not really a lot because I don't really live in a big acting area. A lot of the jobs that I do, I have to travel for. So I don't really do extra work, but
Yeah.
I did do it at the beginning.
Yeah, no, you live in a state that like there's opportunities, but they're sparse as compared to like Atlanta or California or
Yeah, I'm
anywhere
like right
else.
in the middle. You got New York up there and Georgia down there, and like you have to go to one or the other. There's not really many opportunities right in the middle.
Exactly. Like your agents have to kind of be like, okay, well,
Yeah.
there's something down in Atlanta for you to go to and stuff.
But that's
So,
also the good thing about all these self-tapes. You can send in a virtual audition. You don't actually have to go there to audition that much anymore. And if they like you, they'll give you a call back. If they don't, they'll go do.
yeah, that's
But
well.
that's the good thing. That's one of the, I think, better things that came out of COVID. I love doing self-tapes. I think they're so fun.
Yeah, and Zoom has been like, because then you can, I never thought about it, but you could have, I've never done it, so that's why I never thought of it, but you could have like a whole audition with, ooh, I don't, maybe that would be a bad idea. I was like thinking like with everybody, but like then you're seeing who's your
Yeah, I
competition.
guess
It's kind of
like
messed up. I
the
don't
auditions
know.
are like one-on-one, or you're going to the Zoom audition and there's the director, the producer, the casting agent, and like a whole bunch of other random people.
How
And then,
is.
but they all just have their cameras off except for the director. They'll usually in a call back, they'll give you information on what to do different. And then it's like you're just looking at a whole bunch of blank screens and then the director's face. It's kind of funny, actually.
Well, okay, so when how is it now? Like, is it different now with going into the auditions? Like, are there do they don't do COVID tests, right? Like for auditions, do they?
No, a lot of like auditions aren't really in person anymore. I don't think I've had a single in-person audition since COVID. So basically, for the Zoom audition, they'll put you in a waiting room and they'll meet you when they're done with everybody else before you, and you go one-on-one. But sometimes, like going on to set after you got the role, you'll have to do COVID tests for a few days before. Some aren't even requiring them anymore, so you can just go on set. But no, you don't have to do them for auditions.
Yeah,
Usually they'll just like take your temperature.
indie films, when it's not like SAG, it generally you don't have to do, they just take your temperature and they just make sure you're okay. But
They do the little like paper checklist too. Like the, have
oh, so
you
is that
coughed
like
in the last 24 hours? Have you been around someone who's had COVID-19? Just questions like that, making sure like you're good.
yeah. Well, I guess you've been pretty good with, the pandemic, right? Like you were okay. You didn't have any issues, did you?
Yeah, I haven't got COVID actually.
That's good. You're taking care of yourself, 'cause I think I got it twice, and I've been vaccinated, so I don't.
I'm vaccinated too. My brother's been vaccinated, and him and his girlfriend got it on their trip to Florida, I think. Or one of their roommates had it and they got it. I don't know, but they got it and they're both vaccinated, so.
Yeah, so it's it's kind of like the flu. It's if you could get it at any time, like, or whatever, and sadly
True.
it still shuts down sets, which kind of sucks, and stuff, because if one person gets it, they gotta shut the whole thing down.
True,
And
because you never know who was contaminated.
right, or because anybody could have touched something that somebody else touched or whatever. It could be airborne somewhere. So anyway, it's scary, world that we kind of live in right now. But the fact is, we just gotta adjust, as
Right.
actors and everything. So let's talk about the stuff that you're doing now. You've got a lot of work going on too. And you've got is your Indiegogo still going on?
I'm actually not sure if it's still up or not. I know it was up like a week ago or a few days ago, but I think it only had a few days left. But I think it's still up. I think it is.
I think if it went past its like thing, it goes in demand, so people can still donate or whatever.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's in demand right now, but it's past the
Nice.
date.
Yeah, so that's awesome. So people
I
can
didn't know how
still
to explain
donate.
that.
What?
I didn't know how to explain that.
Yeah, so it's in demand. And that's wonderful. Like you're still able to say, hey, if we can get a couple more, funds or whatever, to make it better. So are you really excited? It's what, Girls, A Guide to Murder? So
Yeah, Good Girls Guide to Murder. I'm super excited. I've actually worked with like some of the people on there before, and I'm Instagram friends with some of them before like the roles even got casted. So I'm super excited to like meet and re-meet some of these people.
who are some of the people you already know?
So I know Johnny Sandor. We've done projects together before, and we did. Actually, I can't really remember what we did together, but I know we did like two or three projects together.
Nice.
So she's really cool. I was Instagram friends with Kylie, so we were competing for the main role, both of us.
Yeah, and
We
so
were texting each other about it. Well, our moms were. We were like, this is so silly. Yeah. But
that
she's my best friend in the script. So that's really fun. She seems like such a genuinely nice, great person, and she has a lot of opportunities coming up for her. And my mom in the film is Sherry David. She's been in a lot, and I'm so excited to meet her. I haven't met her yet, but she is an amazing actress. She is so good. And
I know Sherry. Sherry's a sweetheart, and I know Kylie, and I know was Johnny, is that her name?
yeah, Johnny Shannon.
I know Johnny. I know her mom a little more, like, than her and
Right.
stuff. So it's weird, kind of knowing all these people, but like, and seeing how, once again, all three of you are like, young actors who are out there,
Right.
making it. Or whatever. And once again, you're gonna have competition like them. You guys, whoever's right for the role will get it, but it's gonna be like, kind of fun, like, oh, I'm competing with you today, like texting, that's
Literally, it's
wonderful.
so funny. Actually, Johnny, a fun fact about Johnny, she's playing the younger me.
Oh, so how old is she? She's like 8, right? Or 10?
Something like that. I
I don't know. She's young. That's all
don't
I
know.
know.
She's adorable and she is so sweet. Her and her mother both are just like amazing people.
Yeah. So that's sweet. Like, it's funny that you, like, so you're kind of getting connected with all of these people and working all these
And
projects.
that's just like a kind of another thing to touch note on in the acting industry, everybody is always connected. So if you really want to get into acting, make good connections and you'll never know who will refer you to what job or say good things about you. And it really is like it's, I would say it's 50-50, 50 skill, 50 connections. You have to have both. And you can't just be a meanie to everybody because then you won't get cast for anything because everybody is connected and they'll talk and they'll be like, she's not like she's really rude. I wouldn't cast her, stuff like that.
Yeah, I have not heard a bad word about you yet, so, and I don't think I will. And I, yeah, I don't, that's the problem with the internet, especially, is that like word travels. If you're not an easy person to deal with on set, that will get back to other people, and people will be like,
Right.
I have this choice between this person and Ariana, and I'm like, who am I gonna pick? Like, and that's the sad thing. So, but but it's also a thing where you've learned not to, basically make waves, in this industry. Don't be
Yeah,
meanie.
it's okay to have problems with people. It's just like, don't have problems with everybody. Just be nice. You have
Exactly.
to be nice. You have to be respectful.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've been, you've dealt with your fair share of people who are meanies, who are pretty hard to deal with. But the thing is, you seem to be the kind of person who's really sweet and just kind of move on from that, situation.
I am, except I can be a meanie when I'm hangry. So as long as I'm fed, I'll be good.
That's the big thing about indie films, like sometimes they can't pay you a lot of money, but pay you in food, man. Like, make sure your catering is there, if anything,
True.
we make sure on our sets that everybody's well fed, that nobody, because that's the problem, is like, yeah, if somebody is starts getting hungry, man, they
Yeah,
start getting cranky.
my mom says I'm like the Twix commercial.
Like, you have the two different personalities, like you're not. Yeah, okay. I get it. So what else are you up to?
So the main thing I am focusing on is A Good Girl's Guide to Murder right now, but I'm auditioning for stuff. I just auditioned. I got a call back like a few days ago. I'm waiting to hear back from them or not. We'll see. But I was really excited about that one. It's actually, believe it or not, it's a local job and it is for children. So this is one of the many like sparse jobs here, like as you said before.
Yeah, like it's weird. Virginia, this area, has sort of like things where it's like, you never know what you're gonna get, I guess, like, as you said, New York, Atlanta, maybe Florida. I don't know, sometimes there's stuff down there, but really Atlanta and
It's a triangle, Atlanta, New York, California.
yeah. Those are real. Louisiana was big at one point, and now I think they've stopped being like that big. I mean, I think all the focus went to Atlanta. And
Yeah.
then there's even talk of people in Atlanta going back to California. So, but Atlanta still is doing pretty good. So, what's your dream role? Like, what is the kind of role that you really, really want?
I don't necessarily have a dream role because I feel like that's unrealistic. I can't just like come up with a role for myself. Unless I do direct or produce the movie. I really like the roles that I feel like I can connect to really emotionally on a deep level, not necessarily me relating to the character, but just the level of deep emotion being there and being able to channel it is something I really enjoy doing. Having lots of layers to the character is something I enjoy doing, like happy on the inside, but like mom just died or stuff like that that just has layers, like I find really, really interesting.
Yeah, those are the ones that I'm sure when you're really studying them that you can really like dive deep into them.
Right.
So yeah, well, I was like thinking like stuff like have you ever played somebody specific? Like a real person?
A real person. I don't think so. Actually, I don't think so.
Not yet.
Not yet. I've played characters though, obviously. I'm an actor.
So just
And like and I've this is actually the one with Johnny in it. I noticed that I didn't know what we worked together before on, but I was just having a brain fart moment. It was the Rose Wagon.
Rose
And
again.
yeah, that one I played Mackie, which was a supporting role, but she actually had like a lot of emotional layers, so I really liked playing that role. And short films a lot of time can be hard to get those layers and hard to get those roles, but there are like a specific few that do it really good. And I really love being in those ones too because it's like a showstopper moment.
Yeah, it's tough because like for a short, and you're supposed to like in a shorter amount of time, you have to sort of portray this character and get people to feel something for you in some way. Either, you know, it could be liking you or it could be hating you. It could be, you know, if you're a villain or something. But you have to do it in a short amount of time. So I guarantee like it is tough because even, you know, being as a writer, I know this because that I have to make it where you, as the actor, like look at it like that. So it's really funny to see it from the other end of like understanding that, yeah, it's tough because you have to get into that like mindset of like, I've got to make this quickly into that. So it's good.
True, there's not. Short films are harder because, like in movies or shows, you'll have a lot of time to develop the character and get to know who they really are. But in shorts, you just have to kind of sum it up in a few short minutes. It can be
Exactly.
difficult. It can be difficult, but it can be fun. Like every role can be difficult.
What's your so I guess you know you're auditioning, you're doing all this stuff. You know, after you know sort of move on and sort of graduate school and everything, go on to that. Are you planning to like really take this to like the next level at some point? Do you think about that?
I'm planning on going to college, actually after high school, but I was still planning on pursuing acting like during the breaks, during summer. If I get a really big role, I'm willing to go online or just like pause college or just pursue acting full time if it really takes off for me. It just depends where my life leads me.
Awesome. Well, great. Like I would love to like and I love that you're taking classes and you're thinking about going to school for it because that means you're taking it seriously. You're gonna make this, you know, something that you really sort of wanna do, you know. And also I love that you didn't have any like you never thought about it until you started doing it and then and everything. 'Cause like I know for as me as a kid, like that's all I cared about was wanting
Yeah.
to do that. And so I couldn't imagine like becoming 11, you know, and being like, oh, this is now what I want to do. You know.
Yeah, I always said that the only way I won't go to college is if I become rich and famous. Obviously, that's not my goal. I said that as a joke. I really just love acting because it's what I do. But like, honestly, though, the only way that I'll be able to avoid going to college if I become rich and famous. Like,
Well, even then, I mean, it was more like you can already have college classes because you can have teachers, you know, whatever. But I mean, we have like right now at our disposal, like all of these chances to do stuff like, you know, there's Zoom classes, there's master classes, there's everything's a lot of it's online now and not actually in a school. And so I think that's actually pretty cool, though, that you don't necessarily need a diploma from colleges, but I mean, it doesn't hurt. And it also, Generally you go there potentially doing something else too, learning other trades that might help you with your acting or just help you in general, so it's a wonderful thing. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything that, like, if a a young actor, say one of your friends, that outside of the industry and everything, comes up to you and says, I want to get into acting, what's your first advice for them?
I've actually had people come up to me, like lots of people. They'll just be like, I want to be a model. I want to be an actor. The first thing I say to them is, okay, is this really what you want to do? Are you going to be dedicated to this for a long time? Because it took me probably, and I tell them this too, I'll explain why. It took me probably 2 years to even get a role. I don't think I even got a role the first 2 years that I was acting for because I was not good enough. And it's simple as that. I could not embody the character. I could not. It was literally me thinking I could read the words on the paper and be fine. And that's just like, that's simply not true. There's emotions to character. You've got to dig deep. You're gonna, like I said before, you'll get 100, 200, 1,000 no's before you'll even get a yes. You cannot give up. Acting is really only a job for those who are determined and this is something they really want to do because it's something that's really, really hard. And a lot of people don't get that. They just think that you can show up to set one day and be an actor, but it takes so much work. You gotta literally think about everything. What am I feeling? What is my response to something someone else just said? What is my hands doing? What is my feet doing? Do I look awkward? Am I doing the right thing for this moment? There's so many things to think about, and there are so many things to learn that if you're not dedicated, you're not gonna do it full time. Because you just won't have the passion.
I
You can
totally 100% agree with you,
be really good, but if you don't have the passion, people are going to see that.
And that's the thing, like with me, like my writing is my passion, my direct, producing all that filmmaking stuff is more passion. The acting is sort of like I take it seriously, but it's something more fun for me, like if I get a role, I get excited and I'm cool, whatever, but I'm not, I don't, I, you know, I don't take it as seriously as I probably do the other stuff. And that is probably why I'm not out there constantly. I don't audition for any, I auditioned once in my life, or no, twice. I'm sorry, take that back. I did a in-person audition once and did not get that role because I wasn't taking it seriously enough. And I mean, I probably didn't get it because I didn't look like the part or whatever that they were looking for, which was probably the thing. But I know I bombed the audition anyway, so it didn't matter,
There's
and
a lot of factors to it, like
yeah, people think, oh man, they just don't like me or something. And it's like, it has nothing to do with you,
it could,
actually.
yeah, literally, it could be simply because of the way you look. Like, not to be mean or rude or anything. Like, I'm not trying to come across as that, but if it's a family casting and you don't look like the casting, then you won't be cast. If you don't look like the role, and if you're not the right race, ethnicity, the right eye color, the right hair length, like a lot of things can be a factor that's just not, am I good? Which is another reason I don't really take the rejections as like difficultly, because I know it's not necessarily the way that I performed, but it could also be based on a whole bunch of other different factors too.
Or it could be your height. Like, I hate to say that, like, sounds very mean, but like, you might be too short for a character who's supposedly 6'1" and you're 5'3". I mean, sure, you can wear things and make yourself look bigger, but most of the time, there's a certain look people are going for and everything. I actually saw a writer, post that she had a completely specific person in mind and was looking for like somebody 6'3", 180 pounds, you know, like, and that's who she was going to cast for. So if you're not the right height and you're not the right, you know, build for it or look, then you're not going to get it.
Yeah, but that also, that being said, audition for roles no matter what, because you never know what you'll get versus what you'll not get. They might be looking for someone with curly, poofy hair, and you have the straightest hair, and they want blue eyes, and you have brown eyes, or whatever the case may be. You still may get that role because you embody the character,
Yeah.
but also you might not get the role because you're not the way that they want you to look. You just never know.
That's correct. You could get the role because, you know, they changed the person's eye color, you know, and stuff, you know, just for you because you did such a great job. So yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Audition for anything that you can. You know, somebody says, please audition, just audition for it. And if you're wrong, you know, that's, you know, understandable,
I
but
was actually in a Lumify eyedrop ad where they wanted someone 25 years old. And I auditioned for it. And because they liked my eye color so much, I got the role. I was probably only 14 or 15, and they wanted a 25-year-old. But because they liked my look, I got the role. So
did they change your age or did they keep you as a 25-year-old?
they didn't. There was nothing specific that said anything about the age. I guess that's just like what they wanted.
Okay. But so
So
you
that's
ended
what
up
they
playing
put
that
in their
role. That's
casting.
awesome.
Awesome. Yeah.
See, that's great because sometimes you just never know. So just go and do it anyway, you know? Especially like you said, you might be 200. I don't think you're exaggerating at all. I think you've probably done probably 200 auditions, you know, and whatnot in your life, and that's crazy. But it's part of like some days you have to do like 5 auditions or more in one day,
Yeah.
and you might not be feeling it, you know, or whatever, you know, but you still do it, and if you get it, you get it, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Me personally, my mom, she always wants me to like split up the, like, if I have 5 auditions, she'll want me to do one every day of the week, and I'd rather just do them all in the same day to get them all knocked out and free up my time. Also, like two little tips. One, submit your auditions as fast as possible because, like, the casting directors will look through them as they come in, and they might set their eyes on a person and they're not going to change that. It might be the first, like, fifth people that come in, and if they like the fifth person, then they're going to keep that fifth person. So, one, get your auditions in as soon as possible. And two, if you have an agency and they're not getting you work, you can get work for yourself. You can go on Facebook. You can look up like groups. You can look up the state you're in. Like, I'm in Virginia, so I would put Virginia acting groups or Virginia modeling groups or kids acting or indie film, Virginia indie films, or just lots of groups on Facebook, lots of Instagram. You can reach out to people and you can get your own roles. You don't have to have an agent.
I absolutely agree. Well, thank you so much. This has been wonderful. I think you've been very helpful for people, especially people that are just trying to get into this industry. You know, this is it's a it's like you said, it took you 2 years. It's tough because it's a lot of work. You know, if it were easy, everybody would do it, you know.
Right.
And a lot of people try and then they don't want to do it after like a little bit because, you know, it's just too tough. And it's draining and it's very demoralizing at times because once again, you might not, you know, they might tell you, I'm sorry, you're not fit for us because you're not the, you know, you're too certain this, you're too certain that, you know, I don't want to say anything specific, but you know, that kind of stuff. And you know what I'm talking about. And you might go and say, oh, well, now I need to, you know, do this, and it's with modeling too. They'll be like, I need to lose like 100 pounds or something, which, what I mean? Like, and you
Yeah.
don't really, you sh don't shouldn't need to do that, and I
Really,
feel.
like you might get in your feelings, but honestly, just be yourself because every role is different. You don't need to change yourself from one role because that might not be what the next role is asking for. Just like stay yourself, be true to yourself. You'll get there eventually. Be persistent, put your heart into it. You'll eventually get a role and you'll eventually get where you want to be.
Great. Yeah, that's wonderful. That's a great way to kind of end. So, how can people like contact you if they are interested in having you in for a job?
So I have on Facebook and Instagram, all of my socials are Ariana Harris official, and I would send just like my mom might not add you on Facebook if she thinks like you're a creep, but if it's a real sorry, but it is true.
It is true. No, I mean, they have to, like you
If
have
it's
to.
yeah, he's trying to protect me so I don't get any like weird people. But if you look like you have a real page, so except you on Facebook and you can just reach out. Instagram's a lot easier because you can just have like anybody message you. I would follow me. My
You
mom might follow you back. I actually, fun fact, I got kicked off of my own Instagram and I'm only allowed to look at it from her phone now because I kept on deleting pictures that I didn't like. So you can contact my mom on Instagram
So
and
you're a little tougher on
share me. I'll
yourself
look
then.
at
You're a little tougher on yourself, right?
Huh? Yeah. So I don't like a picture. She'll post a picture and she won't ask me about it. I'm like, Mom, I don't like that picture. And then she'll get mad at me. She's like, Ariana, the grid is there. It's three pictures in a row. If you're gonna delete a picture, at least delete the whole row. I'm like, but I need
Right.
the other two.
No, I get that. I don't. I'm the same way, so I'm like your mom. I like things to have like three, all of them to be there, because otherwise you look at it and then you see what, like two empty spaces, and you're just like, ah, it's annoying. So I get
True.
that. I totally get that. But yeah, I had a friend who was kind of like you, where she hated every picture I took, because we're doing like shots, we're doing modeling shots for something, and she was like, nope. Nope. And I was like, you don't like, she did not like any of them. And I was like, how, like, she could not be a model. Like, she did not want to, she would hate everything, unfortunately, and stuff. And that kind of sucks,
Well, at
because.
some like I hate to say it, but at some point, if you hate every single photo, it might be like the posing that you don't like. So you might have to just go back on to the photos and reflect on yourself and see what you're doing wrong.
Yeah, so maybe
It
it's
might
like the
not be
way
you.
you.
It might be you.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. I never thought about that. So I never told her that, because didn't that see, I'm not a modeling person. I'm a, filmmaker side. So and even then, there are times where, people are like, nope, I don't like that. We need filters on those pictures and stuff. And I'm just like, I don't do filters. Like, I'm a guy,
Yeah,
what
it's
you see is
really
what you get.
like criticizing yourself. I don't want to say criticizing, that's not necessarily the right word for it, but looking back at your own pictures, at your own self tape, that's really important to improve as well. I don't think I started improving. I would not look at my own self tapes for the longest time because I would get so embarrassed. But as soon as I started looking at them and seeing what I needed to improve, I did improve. And it's hard because I still don't necessarily like looking at myself on like a screen and seeing my acting, but I have to do it to improve.
Well, and like, I know a lot of actors who don't watch their films, that they've acted in. And I think that's silly. But then again, like, I'm a filmmaker, so I look in the filmmaker eye of things. Like, I want to watch my stuff because I'm watching it all the time anyway. So even if I act in somebody else's film, I still want to see it through the filmmaker's like lens more than the actor's lens. I don't go, oh my God, it was terrible. And that I'm more like, why do they shoot it from over there?
Yeah, it's hard because like as an actor's mindset, when you're watching yourself, it's like, oh, I could have done that so much better now. Or you criticize your stuff for things that you shouldn't have done, that you didn't even know you were doing because you can't see yourself. Or like stuff like that. It can be really embarrassing sometimes, I'm not gonna lie.
Do you like to look at like the dailies or whatever, like when people want to show you like what they just shot of you? Do they ever show you like, oh, we just shot this. This is what you look like, or do you not want to see that?
I don't think I've ever had anybody do that for me. They might just like, okay, not like maybe they'll turn the camera around and show me like one scene, or they'll go through it on their own to see which one they like best. But it's not, but if I kind of have to feel out the scene. If I feel like I didn't do good, I have to say, hey, can we redo that? I don't think I did the best. They won't tell you that. They might give you direction or like constructive criticism, but they're not going to be like, that was terrible.
Yeah, do
You
that
kind of
over
have to
again,
do that
because you know
yourself.
that yeah, man, if a director like I know from as a director's experience, you don't ever wanna like, you know, basically say mean things to the actor, period, like, you know, tell them they're terrible, because they're already in a very emotional state in playing that role, you know. And if you do that, you're sort of kind of forcing them to like get it gets worse, you know. So, I totally agree. But thank you so much. You were your sweetheart. I can't wait to see all the stuff you're doing, you know, and everything. And everybody, check out more stuff on, I guess there's a Facebook page or something for Good Girls Guide to Murder.
There's Instagram, Facebook, Indiegogo. There's lots of perks on Indiegogo. Let me just shout that out really fast. There's like DVD, Blu-ray, like special limited edition posters. There's VIP to the premiere. There's logo on the red carpet, co-producer, your face, your voice, your artwork in the production. There's lots of cool perks that you can get. And I would really appreciate you guys helping me out.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And everybody else, join us next week for a new episode. But until then, everybody, have a good one. Bye.